Today's Shi'ez Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin the Ezra Hashem Yizbarach on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Simen L'Rav Tzlochet V'Yosef Ichbo Menashe V'Choshev. In our previous Shi'er, we had learned the Machloikas Tanoim, Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Shi'a, how exactly Eretz Yisrael was divided. Was it divided Le'Yotze Eretz Mitzrayim? Was it divided to the people who left Mitzrayim, or was it divided to the people that were Baye Aretz, the people who arrived at Yisrael? So begins the Gemara Amalei Rapapal Abaye Bishlam Mandami Leyotz Mitzrayim Neschalka Aretz. According to the opinion that Yisrael was divided to the people who had left Mitzrayim, Haina Diksiv, we could understand the Pasuk when it describes how they will divide at Yisrael. Tarek Dosha says, L'rav tabin nachlosoi, l'ma'at tamin nachlosoi. The Torah is telling us that we should not divide at Yisrael how it looks now as they are entering at Yisrael, but rather it should be divided how it was when they left Mitzrayim. And L'rav, somebody who had a lot of people in their shevet when they left Mitzrayim, even though now perhaps they don't have that type of population, still Taba Nachlosai, he should get a large share. So, for example, if somebody left Mitzrayim with 10 sons above 20, and he and five of his sons died in the Midbar, so now there's only five surviving. When they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to get 10 shears, as their number was when they left Mitzrayim. On the other hand, if we were divided to people coming to Eretz Yisrael, they would only get 5 shears, according to the amount of people that are coming in. Elamat, on the other hand, as we will see actually such an example, someone, as they left Mitzrayim, did not have such a large population, even though now they have a large population. Tamit nachlosai, we will give them a smaller share according to their current situation. Ask the Gemara El Lamanda Omer, but according to the opinion that says that the way Eretz Yisrael was divided, Labaye Aretz, it was divided according to the people who entered Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand L'Rav? How do we understand that pasuk of L'Rav Tabin Nachlosai? Says the Gemara Kasha. So the Rashbam says, and other Rishonim try to come up with ways of explaining the pasuk. So the Rashbam says that maybe the way to understand the pasuk is L'Rav Tabin, according to the opinion, the L'Baya Aretz, means L'Rav Tabin Nachlosai, to somebody who has a large population. Currently, as they enter Eretz Yisrael, they'll get more. Ulamat Tamat Nachlosai comes to teach us that if somebody has currently a small population, then they will get less. That says the Rashbam, that doesn't make sense, because that whole pasuk would be superfluous. Because according to the opinion of Labaya Aretz, Neschalka Aretz, so the Torah already says le'ela to chalakaretz. The Torah is very clear le'ela to those that are entering Eretz Yisrael to chalakaretz. Will Eretz Yisrael be divided? There would be no need, says the Rashbam, according to the opinion of Labaya Aretz, to repeat le'rav tab nachlos le'mat tab nachlosai. Moreover, says the Rashbam, that maybe the Torah is coming to teach us, as we learned in our previous year, that even according to the opinion of Labaye Aretz, to the people that entered Eretz Yisrael was divided, maybe suggests the Rashbam, what the Torah is coming to teach us is that this was a Yerusha, as we learned in our previous year, where the people who are alive gave the Yerusha to the people who were not alive. Says the Gemara, says the Rashbam, it's difficult to explain that the word tarba and tamit are referring to what we're doing retroactively. Tarba tamit seems to explain the original chalukah, not something about some sort of a change. Moreover, the Rebbe Yonah says that the pasuk l'ra'av l'mat, he says, is coming to teach us that something that was. So if we say that l'yotze Mitzrayim l'schalka, so the Torah is describing what we did going backwards. But if it's talking about what's current, the wording of the pasuk doesn't seem to indicate that. We also, so the Gemara said, indeed, according to the man, the Amar, Labaya Oretz, Neschalka Oretz, to the people who entered Eretz Yisrael, that's how Eretz Yisrael was divided, says the Gemara Kasha. But we have a rule in Shas, that when the Gemara has a question without an answer, there are two different ways of saying that. One way of saying that is Tiyufta, and one way of saying it is Kasha. And as we've learned in our Shurim, when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta, it means it's a question without an answer. When the Gemara uses the word Kasha, there is an answer. So the Aruch Chaim gives two ways of explaining what are possible to Terutzim. So he says that we could, when we look at the division, we could look at the division at regarding the people who are going to get shears in Eretz Yisrael, or we could talk about the families who are getting shears in Eretz Yisrael. So when the pasuk speaks about l'rav tav nachlosoi l'mat tav nachlosoi, it says that within a shevet, yes, we're giving it out l'bay ha'aretz, but within a shevet, as we learned and will learn, it was divided amongst families. So a shevet got a shear, but the larger families got larger shears, and the smaller families got smaller shears. And that's what the Torah is coming to teach us, that even though the pasuk is speaking l'baya aretz, it's telling us how the baya aretz got it. Another explanation the Aruch Chaim suggests, as we have been discussing, who are considered the baya aretz that got a share in Eretz Yisrael? And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, he quotes a Rashi, that the baya aretz who got a share in Eretz Yisrael are actually people who were 20 years old when they took a census at Arav Yismayev. And that's what the pasuk is referring to. We're going to divide up Eretz Yisrael. We're going to divide up Eretz Yisrael l'baya aretz. How will we decide which baya aretz we're going to, which baya aretz we're going to divide it up to? The way we're going to make that decision is according to the people who are 20 at Arav Yismayev. Says the Gemara, Amalei Papa Labaya, Bishlama Lamanda Amal Yotz Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, according to the Manda Amar, that Eretz Yisrael was divided according to the people who left Mitzrayim. So the sugya that we began in our previous year, the sugya of the Bnei Tzolofchad, we could understand, says the Gemara, Hanan the Tzolofchad Bnei Tzolofchad. We could understand what was the issue that the Bnei Tzolofchad brought up by saying, Lama Yigar Hashem Avinu, why should our father be deprived, be mishpach tikele ben, just because he had no sons? T'nolana achuz b'sayich avinu. Because they were saying that our father Tzolofchad was from the Yoytzi Mitzrayim, and since our father Tzolofchad was from the Yoytzi Mitzrayim, he's entitled to a shear. El amanda omer l'bay aretz, but according to the opinion, it was given to those that were entering Eretz Yisrael, might tzofchen. That what was their complaint? Asked the Gemara. Leis the Lishkol. The Baya Aretz are getting a share in Eretz Yisrael, but they weren't. But he wasn't alive anymore. He wasn't from the Baya Aretz. Ella says the Gemara. Even if we'll say that Eretz Yisrael was divided, the Baya Aretz only those people that entered Eretz Yisrael, we could understand the issue that the Bnei Tzolofchad brought up. The Chazara Olita Benichsei Chayfer. Even if we say that Tzolofchad was divided to the people that entered Tzolofchad, they, the brothers of Tzolofchad who did survive, got shears in Tzolofchad. And as we said a few moments ago, those shears were given back to the people who left Mitzrayim. And that's what they were asking for because Chefer, who was from the Yotze, was from Chefer's sons, Lofka's brothers, who were from the Baye Aretz, are getting shears that go back to Chefer, who left Mitzrayim, and Tzlofchad, as a son of Chefer, therefore should be entitled to a shear, and if Tzlofchad doesn't have any sons, we, the daughter, should get. Continues the Gemara. The Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua teaches us that when Eretz Yisrael was divided, the Shevet of Menashe ben Yosef were upset. They said that they got a shear equal to all the other shears in Eretz Yisrael, and they said that they're much larger family than everyone else. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'man damo yoytze Mitzrayim, according to the opinion that Eretz Yisrael was divided according to those people who left Mitzrayim, Haina de Tzofchan b'nei Yosef, we could understand the issue that the b'nei Yosef brought up. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yidabra b'nei Yosef, as Yeshua lemer, the b'nei Yosef spoke, B'nash b'nei Yosef spoke to Yeshua, Madao nesati l'nachla goyel echad v'chevel echad, why do you give me only one portion? V'ani am rav ad ashekoy barchan Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we multiplied. And therefore, they said, our family grew, multiplied in the Midbar, and if we're giving it out, if we're dividing it according to Yotz Mitzrayim, it becomes unfair. Eleman Domin, but ask the Gemara Labaya Aretz, it was divided according to the people who were entering Yotz Yisrael. My Kotzavchu, why are they complaining? Kula Shakel, we divided it to according to the people who were entering Yotz Yisrael. And everybody, and since they got, so they're going to get a shear commensurate to their size. So what was their complaint? So the Rishonim point out, does that mean that larger Shvatim got larger shares? And they say that this Gemara is a proof that indeed that larger Shvatim got larger shares. However, the Rashbam says that that question, the larger Shvatim get larger shares, is something that is actually left unopened. And the Gemara didn't want to give that teretz because the Gemara did not want to get into that question. Get into that issue. Answers the Gemara, even though we'll say it was divided Labaya Aretz, but everybody will agree that when we divide it according to the Baye Aretz, we look at who is 20, as we said a few moments ago, at the census of Aris Mayev. They had many young children. They had many young children. And since they had many young children, so that's why they didn't, even if we'll say Baye Aretz, they didn't get a share recognizing those young children. There's a debate in the Rishonim. What does it mean, young children? Some say young children means young children. They're not included in the count. That's the simple pshat. Other Rishonim want to suggest that's talking about young children who are Yisoimim, and because they are Yisoimim, and they didn't get a share together with their parents, and they didn't get a share from themselves. It's beautiful that the Pasuk, when Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Menashe Ephraim, he says, V'yidgu l'roiv b'keref ha'aretz. Says the Gra, what is meant when the Torah says b'keref ha'aretz, that they're going to multiply when they're b'keref ha'aretz? Says the Gra, that what are we learning in our Gemara? That the Shevet of Menashe multiplied when they were in the Midbar, and they were a larger sum as they entered Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Yaakov Avinu meant to say to them, be careful of Haaretz, when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you will be a larger group. Says the Gemara, Amabai, Shema Minop, Deloi Havachad, Deloi Shakal. From this discussion, that we find that the only people that had an issue with the division of Eretz Yisrael were the B'nai Tzolofchad and B'nai Menashe, then it seems that there was no one else that had a problem. These sakadata chava had the loy shakel, that there were others that didn't get. Ibai lil mitzvah, why didn't they say anything? the chitema. And if you'll say the tzavach vahani, those that complained and they accomplished with the complaint, kasve kraw, are mentioned by the pasuk. However, the tzavach v'loyahani, but somebody who complained and didn't accomplish anything with his complaining, like kasve kraw, is not mentioned in the pasuk. Ask the Gemara, habnei Yosef, the tzavchi. What about the bnei Yosef that complained? And yet the pasuk, as we're going to discuss, says v'loyahani. The complaint didn't help them, and yet the kasvinu kraw. So it must be that that the only people who were dissatisfied were Benoit Salafchad, which we're speaking and we'll continue speaking about, and Shevet Menashe. Says the Gemara, it could be that there were others that complained. The Torah only mentions that those, that there's a lesson to be learned. So the Benoit Salafchad certainly accomplished, as we'll learn and we'll continue learning, with their issue, with the issue they raised to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Bnei Menashe, even though they didn't accomplish anything, but says the Gemara Hossam, what they did accomplish is Eitz HaTayva K'mashmalan. They were given good advice by Yeshua. The Bailei L'Inish Lezdur M'men Abisha. Yeshua told them, Baruch Hashem, you multiplied, but you should lay low, because people see that Baruch Hashem, you multiplied, it will cause an ayin hara. And as we've discussed many times, quoted the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish says that ayin hara is some sort of a power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, that somebody has that type of eye that could cause an ayin hara, and the person who has the eye that could cause the ayin hara obviously doesn't know that he has that power, and the person who's affected obviously doesn't know that he's coming in contact with such a person. And because of that, people have to be careful about ayin hara, because they never know where it could come from. Finally, the Kamala Yeshua. And now we could understand what Yeshua told the Bnei Menashe. The Ksiv Yomele Yeshua, Yeshua told them, Im Am Rav Ata, if Baruch Shem, you're a large family, Alei Lecha Hayara, go to the go hide, lay low. Amalhu, what Yeshua told them was, Lahu chav atzka biyarim, hide in the forest, shleitishbahem ayin hara, that the ayin hara shouldn't affect you. So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, says the Rashbam, is that he was giving them advice that if you need much more room, go into the forest and cut down the trees and build homes for all of your family. So ask the Rashbam, why does the Gemara explain that the pasuk that way? Says that that can't be the simple pshat in the pasuk. Because when he told them to go to the forest, which forest was he telling them? He obviously wasn't telling them to go to the forest of other shvatim, for how may he give them the property that belongs to other shvatim? When he said to them, go to the forest, he obviously meant the forest of your property. To tell them that they should go to the forest of the property that belongs to them, they don't need Yeshua's advice. That's obvious. Amalei, to which they responded, Anomazar de Yosef, we come from the family of Yosef Tzadik, the Leshalta Be'en Abisha, that isn't affected by Ein Hara. The Ksiv, Ben Paras, Yosef ben Paris alei ayin, vam revavua, atikri alei ayin, alei oile ayin. Yosef and his family are above any ill effects of ayin hara. Rav Yosef b'chanin amam mahacha, how do we know that Yosef and his family are not affected by ayin hara? The pasuk says, v'yidgu l'roi b'kerav ha'oretz. Ma dagna shebiyam, just like fish in the sea, ma'im mechas malim, the water covers them, they can't be seen. And therefore, ein ayin aru shaltus behem. Avzar shal Yosef, ein ayin shaltus behem. They're not affected by ayin hara. The pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that you can't see the fish in the sea, and because they're not visible, that's why they can't be affected by ayin hara. The Taurus Chaim has a difficult with that pshat. He says that sometimes the water is clear, and if the water is clear, you could see the fish. The answer is that fish are not affected by the ayin hara. Because even though they're visible through transparent water, anything that you can't see directly, there's something covering it, then there's no ayin hara. And therefore, here too, since Yosef's family, even they like the fish, they can't be affected by ayin hara. Says the so many mefarshim ask, we find here the Yifei Torah asked this question, that they were told, don't worry, that we don't have to worry about ayin hara because we're from the family of Yosef. Who are they saying this to? They were saying this to Yeshua, and Yeshua was from Shevet Ephraim, so he well knew his family. He was from the family of Yosef, so he knew that he has nothing to worry about an ayin hara. What were they telling him that he didn't know? So the Mefarshim explained what they were saying, what Yeshua was saying to them. Even though you're from the family of Yosef, you should still be concerned about ayin hara. You don't want, ain't samech mal anes, don't rely on a nes. And they said, we don't consider this a nes. We know that this is part of our family, and therefore we have nothing to worry about. The Gemara in Masechta Ksubos, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph says, the achli kavri, somebody who eats fish, havle b'nei chenina, he'll have children that everybody likes. Why is that? So the Gra of Ein Eliyahu explains, because we see here that fish, the ayin hara doesn't affect. So if the ayin hara doesn't affect, what does it mean? He has nothing to worry about other people. People will always like him. So says the Ein Eliyahu, by somebody eating fish, he'll get the midah of fish. I saw the division of Tzareb explains that if somebody doesn't look where he's not supposed to look, which was what Yosef did. Yosef did not look at the Eishes Potiphar. Somebody who is careful not to look where he's not supposed to look, that is a place, that is a person that doesn't have to worry about ayin hara. The Shem Shmuel says that the Gemara says the Dagim Shebiyam don't have to worry about ayin hara, because the Yam, we know, is a place of Tahara. On the contrary, if somebody is tamei, he has to go to the mikveh. What is the definition of a mikveh? The definition of a mikveh is the ocean, is the yam. If somebody says the Shem Shmuel is connected, if somebody is connected to the tahara, so then he has nothing to worry about, and I in horror. The Chasam Sofer points out that the Pasuk says, Ben Pyrus Yosef, we quoted the Pasuk, Ben Pyrus Ele Ayin, says the Gemara. So it says, the Chasam Sofer, the Pasuk says, Ben Pyrus Yosef, Ben Pyrus Ele Ayin. But, says the Chasam, so it speaks to Menashe and Ephraim. He says that Menashe is much more connected to Yosef than Ephraim was. So he says, if that's the case, Menashe, who was from Shevet Yosef, why did Yaakov Avinu, explains the Chasam Sofer, feel the need to give specifically Yosef, Shevet Yosef, the bracha, not to worry about ayin hara? So he says, because we know that it was Yosef, the Yavah Yosef as the Basim Ra'al Aviyim. It was Yosef that carried the issues about his brothers to his father Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu knows that a person who speaks about other people needs to be worried about ayin hara. He says it was much more of a concern, says the Chasam Sofer, that for Shevet Yosef, for Shevet Menashe than Shevet Ephraim. And that's why primarily the Shevet Ephraim, Shevet Menashe was the one that got the bracha, and that's why the Shevet Ephraim, from which Yosef was, which Yeshua was from, wasn't so concerned. The Taz says a beautiful vart. The Taz says that Yosef wanted his brother. The Taz says that we'll get to this soon. But before we get to that, so we're learning in our Gemara the power of an Ayin Hara and the need to stay away from an Ayin Hara. And there are many halachas that are based on this. One halacha is that two brothers should not get aliyahs to the Sefer Torah one after the other, neither a son and a father one after the other. And even because of Ayin Hara, and the Pesach can say a few points. It doesn't make a difference, maternal brothers or paternal brothers. We shouldn't give two brothers an aliyah one after the other. And moreover, if we want to give one shvi and one mafter, the one that gets the second aliyah, normally we can't give two brothers or a father and a son two consecutive aliyahs under any circumstances. By shvi and mafter, there is room for some leniency, but that leniency is only acceptable if the second person who gets the aliyah won't be called up by the name. Another place where we have this is we shouldn't make two weddings or two brisin at the same time, because again, it represents an ayin hara. Sheva brachas, the Pesach can say, we can make together. And in general, the Pesach can say, a person should not look at somebody, spend too much time gazing at other people, because as we said earlier, a person who has within himself the power of the Ayin Hara doesn't even know that he has that power. Because he doesn't know he has that power, he could be causing Ayin Hara without even knowing. And therefore, the way to prevent it is just don't spend time looking at other people. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that one of the reasons that there's a minig on Rosh Hashanah or during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva that people go to do tashlich, he says the reason that we perform tashlich is our Gemara keeps on telling us that when we go to the Yam, the Dagen Shebiyam, that the water is a place where there's less of a concern of Ayin Hara. So part of the point of saying Tashlich, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, is to protect ourselves from Ayin Hara the entire year. We learned in the Braisa on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Meraglim, when we speak about the share of the Meraglim, Yeshuva Kalev, not L'chalkim. Yeshuva and Kalev got their share. Ask the Rabbanan Amili, where do we know, ask the Gemara, where do we know this halacha? The pasuk says, "V'yemusa hanoshim etzi dibes aretz rabbi magefel fnei Hashem Yeshua ben Nun v'kol ben Yefuna choyu min hanoshim ha'hem ha'ochem losur es aretz mai choyu." So ask the Gemara, what is meant when the Torah uses the word choyu? Ilema, if you're going to say choyu mamish, that they died, that they stayed alive, says the Gemara. But there's another explicit pasuk that tells us that. The pasuk says, when they came, as we keep on speaking about the census at Arvis Mayav, everybody will pass away in the Midbar. Nobody survived. So we know that, so the pasuk is not coming to tell us that. Almai chayu. So what is the definition of chayu? Shechayu bechelkom, that they got the share, their share in Eretz Yisrael. And why is chayu considered a wording for getting a share in Eretz Yisrael? Says the mashab, the pasuk says in Tehillim calls Eretz Yisrael Artzis Hachayim. So Eretz Yisrael is called Artzis Hachayim. But then asked the Mashah, so why is it said Beloshin Rabbim, Artsoy Sachayim? It should have said Ertzachayim. So he says that there are two parts that when we speak about the punishment of the Meraglim, they were punished in this world that they didn't get a share in Eretz Yisrael, and they were punished in the next world that they don't get a share in Olam Haba. So that's what it says, Artsoy Sachayim. Rabbi Aaron HaKotler says, a Mori de Gevart. He says, why were Yeshua ben Nun and Kaleb ben Yefuna so fortunate to get such a wonderful schar? There are other people in the history of Klal Yisrael who have done wonderful things, yet we don't find that they get such a great schar. Why were they to get the great schar? So he says that if a person does something great, of course he deserves a schar. But when does a person deserve even more schar? Says Rabbi Aaron Zitzal, a person deserves more schar when everybody else is weak. If everybody else is weak and you strengthen yourself, that really shows greatness. It wasn't just what Yeshua and Kalev did in fact, towards their in regards to their attitude to Yisrael. It's even more than that. That everybody else, they were together with all the other Meraglim who behaved so poorly, and they did what was right, and that's why they were deserving of the schar, a big schar, a big shir in Eretz Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer, based on this Gemara, explains the discussion that we find in the Torah between Yaakov Avinu and his son Reuven. The Torah says that Yosef warned his brothers not to return to Mitzrayim to buy food without bringing along their youngest brother, Binyamin. Yaakov Avinu, no matter what the situation, was hesitant to send Binyamin because he was concerned what would happen to him. Reuven turns around to Yaakov and says, Ashe b'nai Thomas im Levienu. And Yaakov, of course, my two older sons should die if I don't bring them home. And of course, as we know, the pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu rejected Reuven's proposal. As Rashi says, Reuven's children were Yaakov's grandchildren, and Yaakov was just as concerned about their welfare as he was about the welfare of Binyamin. So we need to understand, what did Reuven mean? Says the Chasam Sofer, that what the word Chayu in that pasuk also, Chayu and Thomas refers not to life and death, but rather what he meant to say was, it refers to a share in Eretz Yisrael. And what Reuven was saying to Yaakov Avinu, that he believes that because he was Yaakov Avinu's Bechor, he deserves a double portion in Eretz Yisrael. And what happened is that his sons, ultimately happened with Shevet Yosef, would be considered like two Shvatim. And what Reuven meant to tell Yaakov, that he was willing to give up that right, the right of Bechayra in Eretz Yisrael, if he won't bring Binyamin home. And now, says the Chasam Sofer, why did Yaakov Avinu reject what Reuven said? The reason he rejected it, because Yaakov Avinu had already decided that he's going to give the Bechayra to Yosef. As we just mentioned, he gave it to Menashe Ephraim. So what Reuven was offering really wasn't of much meaning, because he wasn't getting the Bechayra anyway. Beautiful Pshat from the Chasam Sofer. The only question I have on this Pshat is that the entire Pshat is based on Yaakov Avinu knowing that Yosef is alive and that he has children to whom Yaakov Avinu will give the Bechayra. But at that point, Yaakov Avinu actually did not know Yosef was alive. So how do we understand Yaakov's intention to give it to Yosef if in his mind Yosef wasn't alive, he didn't know that Yosef had children? We learned also in the previous year in the Braisa that Mesloinen and Vadas Kairuch Lehelam Chelik Baris, they didn't have a shein at Yisrael, says the Gemara Tanya. Have we not learned Meraglim Mesloinen Vadas Kairuch Yeshuva Kailuf Dato Chalkim? So we see that it was given to Yeshuva Kalev, not like the Braisa says, that they didn't get a shear at all. Answers going to Loikasha. Mar makish Mesloinenim Meraglim. One man Dama treats the Mesloinenim like the Meraglim. And just like the Meraglim, as we just finished learning, Yeshua and Kalev got their share, so too the Mesloinenim. Omar, the other Tana, Loi makish Mesloinenim Meraglim. So the Rishonim discuss, we know that there's a halacha that ain adam don gzeir shava me'atzmai. A person can't make up his own gzeir shava. There's a question, actually, in Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, if adam don hekish me'atzmai, if a person can make up his own hekish. Tosfos says you can, and Rashi says you can't. So according to Tosfos, we could understand was this a hekesh that they accepted? But if we hold like Rashi, how do we understand this Gemara that there's a machlokes if there is a hekesh or not? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained the way to understand this Gemara, even according to the opinion of Rashi, is ein adam don kzer shavim atzmai. A person can't make hekesh matz. A person can't make up his own hekesh. And the way to understand the Gemara is that these two opinions have a machloikis. The Rebbeim had a machloikis. Can you make up your own hekesh or not? And based on that dispute, we understand the machloikis in the Gemara. The Tanya, the pasuk says, as we speak about the Benoit Tzolofchot, they said, Avinu meis b'midbar, v'hu lo hayu b'soy cha'eda ne'adam al-shem adas karech, b'chat de meis u'bonam lo hayu loy. Says the Gemara, what did the Benoit Tzolofchot mean to say? Avinu meis b'midbar, said Tzolofchot. V'hu lo hayu b'soy cha'eda, sadas miraglam. He didn't participate with the miraglam. Ha'ne'adam al-shem, elam aslaninim. He didn't participate with the Mislainanim. We'll see soon who that means. But that's Karach Kamashmoim. What did they mean to say? We understand the Meraglim, the Mislainanim, and Karach don't deserve a Shir Netz Yisrael. But our father wasn't from that group, and therefore he deserves a Shir. So we see that they didn't get a Shir. So the Shir of the Meraglim, we know, went to Yeshuva Kalev. Ma makish mesloinim meraglim, and just like they got the share of the meraglim, they got the share of the mesloinim Yeshua and Kalev, or ma loy makish loy mesloinim le meraglim, and they didn't get the share of the mesloinim, even though they got the share of the meraglim. Ask the Gemara, amalei rapapa labaya, or leman the makish, according to the opinion that says that they did get the share, leman the makish mesloinim le meraglim, so that means that just like Yeshua and Kalev got the share of the Meraglim, they also got the share of the Mesloilim. So ask the Gemara, what ends up happening is Ichbu Yeshuva Kalev, Yarsla Kol Eretz Yisrael. It turns out Yeshua and Kalev ended up with all of Eretz Yisrael because there were so many people in the history of Klal Yisrael that complained. So that the Gemara finds impossible that they should get such a large share. Amalei, so Abaye says, when we speak about the Mesloinanim, says Abaya, it doesn't mean anybody who complained during the course of history in the Midbar. It means Mesloinanim Shabbatas Kairach Kaminin. It refers to the people who were part of Kairach's group. As the Pasuk says, there were 250 people that joined Kairach. Those people didn't get a share. And I saw the reason they didn't get a share is one, because just like Kairach didn't get a share, they didn't get a share. Another pshat that I saw is that they were chayto machtes rabban. They weren't just Bali Aveira. They were people that convinced other people to do it Aveira. People who are chayto machtes rabban deserve a much greater punishment. And that's why they didn't get a share. Another pshat that I saw is, you know, we know that the Gemara says that Kairach v'Adosai really did not completely die. They were just left below the ground. Where is Yerusha passable? Yerusha is only passable by somebody who dies. But since these people never really died, that's why there was no issue of Yerusha there. Amalei Papa Labaya. Bishlam Lamand Amal Yotzim Mitzrayim. We go back to what we discussed at the beginning of the shir, the subject of Yetz Mitzrayim. So, and Boya Oretz, how was Eretz Yisrael divided? So it says, Amalei Papa Labaya, Bishlam Lamanda Omer, the Yetz Mitzrayim, the Skalka Oretz, Hanadiksev, Yiplu Chevli Menashe Asara. That Menashe family got 10 shears. How are the 10 shears? Shita, the Shita based office, the Pasik mentions the six, this is a Sefer Yeshua, Perik Beis, mentions the six families. Abed to have four shares of the Benoit Tzolofchot. Their father's share, their father Tzolofchot, who was from the Yoytzim Mitzrayim, Khefer, who was Tzolofchot's father. Then, as we said, Tzolofchot was a Bechor, so that's another share. And there was a brother of Tzolofchot who died without children and therefore they were the Yarsha of that uncle. Hasara. So we have the six Bati Avos plus four. Elamandam al-Bayaritz, it was divided to the people that came into Yisrael. Tamnya, who davits eight, Shita the Shita Bati Avos, with the six Bati Avos, but traded who? Their share, even if they're getting their father's share, that's two. As a Bukhari, he gets two shares, but not more. And even though he didn't enter, but we keep on saying, goes back to Hefer, but it's only Tamya. So ask the Gemara, Ulatameich, Velelamandam, Yetzimitzram, Schalkar, it's Tishahava, they should get nine, one for Tzlovchad, and two for Hefer. Elmaes the Chamema, Chad Achad Abba Havalahu, we have, so how does it get to 10? The answer is, they had an uncle who passed away without children. So that's how there's one more shear. So again, how do we get to the number 10? Six Bati Ova Menashe, Tzolofchot shear, and Chayfer shear, and then Tzolofchot's extra share as a Bechor, and an uncle that passed away. So that's how we get to 10. Ella, but the coin to the opinion that says that it was Labaye Aretz. How did we get to 10? So the mother Trey Achad Abba Levelu. They had two uncles without children that they were the Yarshim. The Tanya and the Brisa says there's a Brisa. The Gemara says there's a Brisa that supports what we just said. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed Nosan Titan Lahem, Nosan Titan Lahem, so Nachlas Aviem, Betzoych Aviem. They should get their father's share, the share of Tzolofchot. They should get their grandfather's share of Chayfer. And actually, as we keep on saying, two shares. Vavatis Nachas Aviyah Lahem. That's the Bechayra. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Af Chelek Achi Aviyah Natlu. They got also an uncle's share. Shnema Nosoin Titein. So the Torah, by using that double wording of Nosoin Titein, that's where we have one more share. And according to the mandama that we just said, that there were two uncles that died without children, that they got their Yerusha, Ula mandama Trey Achad Abba Havalahu, and that's how they got to that number. How do they know that? From the word Achuzas Nachla Nafka. The Pasuk could have said, Nosan Titan Lahem, explains the Rashbam, Nachla B'toich Avi Aviyem. And the Torah uses the word Achuzas Aviyem. So the Torah is coming to teach us that there were two uncles without children. Amalei Rapapa Labai, Kro Maika Choshev. The Pasuk that speaks about the family of Menashe says the Gemara, how do they get to this number? Itfon Kachoshev, if we're just mentioning all the children, so Tuvahava, there were many more than just 6, 10. Vibati Oros Kahava, and we're mentioning the family Shitahava, there were only six because Tzolofchot and his family indeed were part of Sheva Menashe, but they weren't independent Batei Avos. So if they weren't independent Batei Avos, why they counted separately? Says the Marla Olam Batei Avos Kachashev. Normally when the Pasuk is counting, it's only counting Batei Avos. Says the Gemara, but here, when the family of Menashe is enumerated, they got a share of the Bechayra, and that's how we got to this number of 10. And what the lesson the Gemara is trying to teach us is Alma et Yisrael Mukhsak, see, that Yisrael is considered ours, it's Mukhsak not Roy. What the Gemara is coming to speak about is Halacha that we've spoken about and will speak about. Yes, a Bechor gets a double portion, but even though a Bechor gets a double portion, a Bechor only gets a double portion and what's muhsik, and what the father had at the time of death. What the father did not have at the time of death, what only came to that estate later, that they don't get a double portion. And what happened here was, so then we keep on saying, they got two shares from Chayfer. One from their grandfather Chayfer, that Slavka, the father, was supposed to get. And the other was, because Tzolofchot was a Bechor. But Chayfer never got this Yerusha. So why is Tzolofchot entitled to this double portion as a Bechor? But if we say that Eretz Yisrael Mechzekesi Lavaseinu, so then our
our ownership of Eretz Yisrael is not roi. It's not something that's coming. It's something we already have. In order to teach that very, very important lesson, the Torah by Shevet Menashe mentions the family of Tzlofchad's daughters independently to teach us that lesson.